Welcome back. This podcast episode with Maddie, I love this episode. I'm sorry, I do. I think she's amazing. She was so good. She's so good at storytelling. She started working in a strip club when she was 19, worked there for a year. Then she started working in Babe Station, which is like a call girl. So she's on the TV being like, hi, like, da da da da. We spoke all about it. She met one of the producers on Babe Station and they started having a relationship. She developed feelings for a customer, one of her customers. She does OnlyFans. We went into the whole thing. She talks about why she got into the industry, why she's kind of ready to dip out. Like, she's, we mention it all. It's not biased. It's just a complete, honest, her own perspective. Please enjoy this podcast. Please leave a rating if you can, because it helps. Okay, I have my second guest.
Hello.
ASMR. Hey, girlies. Maddie, to give an intro, we met a year ago in, so it's Manchester Pride in yours. Ugh. Now, I think we met through Joao.
Yes.
Your bestie.
Yes.
Your bestie.
My boy.
No. Can I just say, your accent, I'm obsessed.
Don't.
No. Yours is unreal. Do you know who you, I said this to you before, your voice reminds me of Jodie Marsh.
See, oh.
You don't know her.
No,
you,
I said don't.
That to you before and you're like, who is that? Like, you sound the same.
But, hello Jodie.
Jodie, darling.
But I used to have a massive crush on Robert Sheeran. From Misfits, the Irish.
Don't even.
Oh, that was my first ever fanny flutter.
Flutter.
That was my first ever fanny flutter.
Is so he kind of dropped off the boil.
When he left Misfits, Misfits was done by that. I was not watching anymore.
He just had that real edge.
Yeah, and ever since then, I was Irish. It's
yeah, oof. Yeah. I know. So okay, so you moved to Manchester a year ago, which you went. So they opened a Babe Station office. Not office, like a studio.
Oh my God, it's like an office.
Is it an office?
I swear to fucking God.
Really? The Manchester one?
It's like an office. And then you go through this room and then it's like Babe Station. But everyone thinks it's like this glamorized, like massive set. I would say like off-license kind of look.
Oh my God. That's so interesting.
You wouldn't even think, but it has to be discreet. Can't have like Babe Station on the door. Like you'd have fucking 60,000 men.
Is that why?
Like, I guess. Maybe
that makes
the money.
No, that's because you'd have men fucking showing up being like, hey, like big freaks. Do you know what I mean? So wait, the thing is, right, I feel like Babe Station is not something that you hear about that often, in the sense of like you hear like nowadays like OnlyFans.
Yeah.
You don't really
stripping.
Hear. Stripping.
Yeah, like,
oh, yeah.
Babe Station was that thing, like, is that still going?
I know. But
like, when I got asked to go to work there, like, they messaged me on Instagram. It was during lockdown. I was building up my, like, portfolio, sort of, like you would say on Instagram. And they just DM'd me, like, hey, we love your profile.
Is that how it happened?
And I was like, fuck off.
Yeah.
So I remember you guys. I remember you cunts when I was 14 at a house party.
And be on the TV.
Yeah, 2 a.m. and all the boys were like, put it on with the girls with the tits out.
Yeah,
and they're just, like, they think it's like a fun, and I get it now, like, I get callers and it's just drunk people sometimes.
Really?
And I'm like, oh, I remember that with me once upon a time.
Oh my God,
but
that's so
nice. I was like, is Babe Station still going on?
But it's
a very 2002.
It's kind of iconic though, that you. I think it is iconic that you work there, because you
everyone
don't hear.
Says this. I'm like, girl, if you really knew.
If you knew.
If you
knew. Yeah, that's the thing, because there's like an idea of what goes on and then what actually happens.
Yeah, behind closed doors.
When did you officially start working in Babe Station?
I was 20, so.
20, and you're 20.
23
now. So you've been there 3 years.
Yeah, it will be my third year.
That's mad.
In August.
And
so.
How do you find like working there?
It depends on the month. It depends on the year.
Do you prefer Babe Station to OnlyFans? Or are they completely different?
Yeah, 100%.
You do prefer?
Yeah, but like, OnlyFans is just like,
as in when?
It's a job, a 24, not even a 24 hour job. It is like a 27 hour job a day.
OnlyFans.
Even though it doesn't exist. But yeah, it's like constant.
Is this because guys want your constant attention on the app? They're like, hello, hello, reply, reply.
Yeah, and it's literally like, imagine if you get, let's just say, 100 messages a day.
Yeah.
You have to reply. Not have to. Like, you're your own boss. You can do what you want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they expect a reply the same day. But then they will reply to your reply, and then they expect another reply.
See, this is what I keep hearing about OnlyFans. They're like, oh, because I'm paying for a service, I expect... It's yeah. like, slow down.
Yeah, honey, like, I've got to get around the circle, you know? Yeah. Give everyone a chance.
They nearly think they're, like, owed something.
Yeah, which I get, like... At first, when I first started OnlyFans, I was like, you know what? A lot of people were like, yes, like, fucking get the coin. Like, fuck these men, boss bitch. Okay. I used to think, like, these poor men, they have to pay their way to have a conversation with someone that they, you know, like or interested or admired. Or and they have to pay just to have a conversation. Mm. And it's like a statistic. I'm not 100%, you know, scientific on the statistic.
Yeah.
But it's like... 85% of women will only choose 25%, or 75% of women, 85% of women will only choose 20%, 25% of men. So the rest of the 75 men
are just
will not be chosen because they're not tall enough, because their dick isn't big enough, because they don't drive a BMW fucking 4 Series, because they, you know, don't have the money.
Yeah.
And it's like one woman could go into a bar and there could be 100 men in there. That woman will 100% take a man back.
Yeah.
One man could be in a room with 100 women. He could go to every single woman.
Yeah.
And there's still a big chance, depending on what he looks like or how tall he is or how much money he has or how big his dick is.
Yeah.
He could not go home with anyone.
And that's such a fair point, though. That's actually such a fair point.
So I used to feel sorry for these men.
Yeah.
And I do. A lot of men, I'm like, fuck. Like, I want to give you my time of day because, bless you, sometimes they've got a disability. Sometimes they've got a mental condition. Yeah. Like, and I can relate. I've got ADHD. Like, that's classed as disability or with mental health.
Yeah.
And some of these men, they genuinely, they're shy. They're insecure. Yeah. They can't talk. It's like the
company. They want your company.
Mm-hmm. That's some men will just like... It's like practice for the real world.
Yeah.
They can have a conversation with this woman, get used to them.
Yeah.
And then in the real world, it gives them confidence. But sometimes these women can just shut these men down because they're expecting a reply and never get one.
With the babe station, like with the customers, what kind? Because obviously OnlyFans, I can kind of imagine the kind of like what type of like guys or whoever would be like subscribing, but with Babe Station, I'm trying to imagine like the age demographic. Like, is it older men?
No, it literally ranges. Sometimes you get the guys that have been there from the beginning.
The get-go.
Like, we're having our 20-year anniversary.
Are they like an OG?
Yeah. And like, there are these guys that have been on there from the beginning, and it becomes an addiction. People can get so fixated on a model or a girl, and they think that they are so interested in them, and it's so sad.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not talking for all women, but some women can just take the piss out of these men.
Yeah.
And men have to I know this girl, not going to name names,
mm-hmm.
but she this guy is repossessing his house.
Stop.
And he has spent money on her, and this girl was like, I don't want anything to do with him. Like,
oh my God.
Fuck this guy. Like,
big situation.
Yeah, and you can see this guy clearly has a disability.
Yeah.
He clearly struggles, you know, in real life to find a companion.
Yeah.
And she is clearly manipulating him. Like, that's something I couldn't do.
Yeah,
because fair enough to girls who can.
Yeah.
Don't shame them. They're getting their money.
Some people are good at like looking at it from a really like non-emotional like perspective. They're like
no empathy, client. Yeah.
They're like they're like worker client end up.
Don't I would never ever shame a woman
to
do it. She's making her money. If she's he wants to spend money, if he wants to repossess his house, he can fucking do it. He's an adult. He can do what he wants.
Because then the argument comes in of like if she turned around and was like, no, I'm not doing this, he'd probably be like, no, please.
Well, this guy came all the way to meet her. 3-hour commute or 4-hour commute
within the UK
to meet her, stayed in a hotel for like 4 days, and told him that she was gonna meet him. She told me that she's like, I'm not gonna meet him, like, I'm just not going to. But she couldn't tell him that because she knew that she'd lose out on money.
Mm-hmm.
Made him come all the way there and then was making an excuse every day, like, I've got to go to hospital, that I'm unwell, my friend needs me. And it's just like, when is it like in your right mind do you think like this guy has like feelings. People can say, oh, he's a dumb man. Like, men can be dumb enough. If men want to be dumb enough to do it, it's their own fucking fault.
Yeah.
sometimes guys generally they don't know any
they don't know the difference.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or they're just literally don't know. Getting it's like a mind game.
Did you ever have like a weird customer experience? Oh, I'm saying I don't know what to
I
say.
Love the weirdos.
Tell us a story.
So when
please.
I first started PayStation,
yeah,
I did not know what I was doing. I didn't even know what I was doing at this point.
It's such a fumble. You're just like,
yeah.
I'm just,
I come from stripping where you don't really talk.
Oh, yeah,
you
yeah.
just sometimes stripping. Oh, it's all about the chat. You could have a guy in the room for like 2 hours, and you're just getting drunk, and you just the chatting, and you want to get him more and more drunk, so he just stays and spends more money. The more drunk they are, the more stupid they are with their mistake. With PayStation, it's all about the chat. And so many people think you've got to have big boobs, big bum, like this porn face.
Yeah.
Oh, you could just be good at chat. And some guys just want a conversation. But the weirdos I used to be so threatened by, I used to think, oh my God, like, I can't do that. Like, that's weird. The weirdos spend more money. Really? I would rather get my toes out, which I didn't even think was a thing at first. But, like, feet is such a high statistic. Like
really,
and it's just a brain malfunction. So in our brain, we have receptors, one to move our hands, one to move our arms, one to move our feet. The receptor that makes us horny and the receptor that moves our feet in men, sometimes the wires just cross length.
I think you have such good stats. You're like very on
it. I think
like,
I don't want someone to be like, that's not true. But
no,
this is what
but there's something along those lines.
And that is why men just find it horny, because the receptors just cross-link in the brain. It's just a brain malfunction.
It's a brain malfunction.
And it is so, so common.
Did you ever have, like, a customer... I don't know, would you even say customer? Would you ever have, like, a guy who just, like... Not, like, do you have regulars who you're like, oh, they're calling... Oh, you smiled when I said that. Okay. No.
Another story. I've got regulars... literally love that. I spoke to this guy called Isaac today. He's actually got my personal Instagram, and we just chat.
You vibe.
It's not even sexual.
There's that side of it as well.
I gave him my personal Instagram.
Yeah.
And literally, he likes all my, like, I'll show you after this. Like, he's just this nice guy. He's from America.
Yeah.
And he's so sweet. Yeah. And we just talk.
Mm.
And it's so refreshing.
Mm.
And then I've got another guy that, his name's Bimbo Lover. Shout out. And I know his real name, he knows my real name.
Yeah.
We've actually built up this friendship. If I saw him, like, I wouldn't be scared.
No.
I would actually go out on a weekend with him and, like, we'd have fun. And I know that, he probably does, you know, he'd want to get in my pants. But I know he would genuinely respect me if I was like, no, I'm not up for that. Like, I've got a girlfriend, you know?
Yeah.
And then I've had a customer that I've had, like, relations with.
Okay. Oh.
And it's been more than that.
Does that get complicated?
Honey.
It's interesting because I hear of this happening sometimes.
Think about
it.
It's real. It's really... People think,
not being funny, right? You spend so much time in work and like the people that you'd be around, they're essentially your co-workers. I know it sounds so dumb because like they're not your co-workers, they're your clients. But if you're talking to them literally every day...
They see you so vulnerable.
Yeah.
It's not like you're just face to face. This is like they're seeing my insides.
Yeah.
You know? They and it's not even just that.
Yeah.
There comes... We communicate with each other what we're interested in.
Yeah.
What we like. Whether it's fake or not. Whether I'm acting or not. Because honey, like it's not always real. Like when I talk to customers, I'm very me.
Mm.
And I know that like... people could back that. Like, I will always be me in a sense, like Maddie.
Yeah.
When it comes to the dirty side, it's lights, camera, action.
No, like, I love you.
It's fake,
I actually love
fake.
It's fake doll.
There are things that I do generally like. I'm very submissive in the bedroom.
Yeah.
I can't help that. Oh, so it does help me and it comes easy to me when I work because I genuinely enjoy that.
Yeah.
But there are things that I am saying that I don't even know what I'm saying.
It's funny as well, but you're saying like, it doesn't matter if you're like big boobs or whatever. If you can talk the talk.
Yeah.
That's because at the end of the day.
Eye contact as well.
So you'll be on the TV and
cams.
On the phone.
And I used to, when I first started PayStation when I was 20, the person that contacted me was like, the more hardcore you are, the more money you're going to make, period.
Okay.
And I thought, okay, I'm quite a sexually active person. I'm quite risky in the bedroom.
I can
do this and I can do that.
And
I was fine with doing it because I'm quite comfortable in that sense.
Yeah.
And when it gets to lights, camera, action, like I would just do it. Like it's like a veil that goes over.
It is like an alter ego.
Yeah.
Like it's not an alter ego because it's you. It is you. But it's like you near, because like your name obviously is Maddie and then your like stage name. Like obviously you need not stage name, but you need like,
no,
a
stage
name.
Stage name. Oh my God, that girl was stage the whole time.
Like
I know when I'm Maddie and I know when I'm Missy.
Yeah.
And I know when people prefer Maddie and I know when people prefer Missy. And I,
that's so interesting.
And I think the worst thing that I have done is I've collided the two, and now sometimes right. I think I'm being too missy. Like, I have sexualized myself, and now other people sexualize me, and that's not okay for them to sexualize me. It's okay. Yeah. If I want to sexualize myself, I can. If a girl wants to sexualize herself, she can. It's her fucking body. She, he, they. If they want to sexualize themselves, they can do it, because that is their choice.
I think sometimes as well, when you have like an online persona, and I don't know, I think everyone kind of has it, but you know the way when you go online and it's a little bit performative, like everyone does, like I do it sometimes when people see me in person, they're expecting this like all they're like, hey, and I'm just like fully like, hi.
Yeah,
like,
oh, do you know, God, what I mean, people that used to say to me like, you seem so intimidating, and they'll be like, oh, I've met you, but like, they'll be like, oh, you're well down to earth and all of this. Yeah. And I try to be like, just me, 100%, I'm acting like a geezer, whether I'm just trying to have a good time, here drinking my Stella. But people will be like, the way you look, because I never, when I grew up, I never did, like, I couldn't do my own makeup. I remember watching my friend, her name was Lily, and she was amazing, still is amazing at makeup. And I used to be so fascinated, and I used to just watch her, and she used to let me borrow her makeup. And I did it, and as soon as I started, you know, taking care of my appearance, and, you know, I got my nose job, I started wearing hair extensions. Oh, what? Honey, you should have seen them.
Where did you get a nose job?
In 2018. And then that started my body dysmorphia.
Fuck off, no way.
But oh my God. I never used to care about what I looked like. And as soon as I started getting attention and getting recognised, it just become an addiction.
It's like a drug.
It's like the serotonin. I remember the first time I ever got 500 likes on my photo, on a picture on Instagram. And it was like a chemical released in my body.
It's fully a thing. Yeah. Dopamine.
Felt so good. Yeah. And then I was continuously trying to reach that goal. So I was getting more sexualized on Instagram. And this photo that got 500 likes, I was 18 at the time. I was wearing a bodysuit, and just the bodysuit only. And my ass was out. And I'd never really done that sort of thing before. Then after every post, I had to have my ass out. I had to have my tits out. Yeah. And then I was like, well, I should start charging people for this, and then OnlyFans.
That's how it happened.
That's how it all started. I just fell into this job.
Because you obviously saw, okay, people like this, so I'm gonna do more of it.
Yeah, and just make money off it.
And that's clever, because you're like, if I'm gonna do this for free, why don't I just capitalize?
Yeah,
the photos are going out regardless. So when did you work in a strip club?
When I was 19, I had my
before
first
Babe Station. And did
was no it... strip club was in Platinum Lace, Brighton. Babe Station's just not
no,
even...
but before Babe Station.
Oh yeah, before, yeah. So I didn't strip even know club, Babe Station.
And so, I think the funny thing with like stripping is like, you know, like with the film like Hustlers and stuff. I feel like there's this stereotype, and I've heard like because the thing is like, in America, they have like $1 like bills. It's a completely different culture.
Oh my God, yeah.
In the UK, I've always wondered like, what is it actually like?
So I'm not going to speak on behalf of all girls. I should say at the beginning. I don't want to speak on behalf of all sex workers. Every sex worker is different. Every story is different.
This is your perspective.
This is just me and my story. What happens to me in my, you know.
Yeah, your own experience. Yeah, definitely.
But I literally just saw it. I remember I asked a girl who I knew from childhood, and I was just like, what's stripping like? And she told me, and I just love to dance. I have a dance background. I used to do street dance growing up, and musical theatre and acting, which is why I fell into this whole thing, because it's just performing at
it's
the end
performing,
of the day.
Yeah.
Now I was working at Mercedes-Benz, and I was working, which I loved that job because it was talking to people. And then I started working for H&M because I was like, oh, maybe a bit of fashion. I was like, I just want to perform. I just want to dance. Yeah. I just want to act. That's all I want to do. I don't want to. But the industry is so hard. You can't just like become an actress.
Yeah.
Even amazing aspiring actors or actors out there, like they don't have a job every day.
No,
you know, they
I
have
know.
To wait, and then they get that job. Maybe it's a big payout. Maybe it's not.
Like
some people don't even get paid at all.
Yeah.
It's such a cutthroat industry. Mm. It's fucking hard.
Yeah.
And so sex work, you know, I shouldn't have thought it's going to be easy because it's fucking not. It's the hardest job I've ever done in my whole life.
I do hear that.
It's so hard.
I
mental
do hear
health,
that a lot.
Physically, mentally,
imagine.
Emotionally. Yeah. Started stripping
in Platinum
Lace.
Is that in...
They have some. They've got one Trafalgar Square and they've got another one in London.
Okay.
A Leicester something. Leicester Square or whatever it's called. And then Brighton.
What was that like? The strip club.
Oh my God, when I first got there, I was like this big ball of energy. Like I was 19, like I just wanted to dance. And my friend told me, you have to get your pussy out.
Really?
And I was like, no.
For some reason, why am I, I don't know why I didn't expect, for some reason I'm being so naive, I just thought it was like, I don't know what I thought. I thought just it like was
a,
just like
just like a dance. Titties out. No, no, it's what? She's like, yeah, in the private dances, you got to
get the private dances. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Some clubs are different. Mm. Some clubs you can get naked. You have to get naked there on stage, but everyone puts a pound in the pot. So if there's 50 people in the room, you'll get paid £50 for doing that stage, that pole dance sort of thing. But in Platinum Lace, you get a roster. There's like a roster thing.
Okay.
Like a podium. That's what they call it, the podium. Yeah. So one girl goes on the podium, one girl goes on the pole, and then one girl is standby.
Oh, yeah.
So they'll go, Missy, standby, Sabrina, podium, Jasmine, let's say, pole.
Yeah.
So you know what you're about to do. And then you do two songs, and then you rotate.
Oh.
So I remember my first time auditioning, and I was so scared. I didn't even know what I did, but I licked the pole.
Yeah, just in the moment.
I licked the pole.
It's like, yeah.
Who?
But it's that, would lick it kicks the pole. The performative element kicks in.
No, it's like I said, lights, camera, action.
Lights, camera, action.
I just didn't even know. It's like a veil. I just did it. I don't even know why I did it.
Yeah. So you do the dance.
Yeah. And I made, I came back, and I think my first night I made £1,200.
Stop.
I had never even had that much cash in my hand in my life. Yeah. In my life.
Yeah.
I remember from H&M.
Especially at 19.
I wouldn't even make that in a month.
Mm. Oh my God, like, I know. The minimum wage.
And I was doing 35 hours, 8 days, 8 hour days, five days a week.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I love that job. It was very social. Like, I genuinely enjoyed it, but it's not what I wanted to do. I just wanted to get paid to dance. So I was like, stripping. I'll just do that. And I did OnlyFans and stripping, like, at the same time.
At the same time.
I thought,
time.
Well, when I strip, I can take photos, I can build a portfolio.
Yeah.
I can do it my OnlyFans.
Yeah.
I can build clientele.
Yeah.
Like, it seemed very, like, I've got this boss bitch kind of energy. And I did get, like, a little bit of hate from it. Like, I was the first girl in my town to do it.
Really?
And, yeah, it was, Eastbourne's quite small. Small and, like, town. Connected. Everyone knows everyone. Yeah. Like, when you went to a house party, six different schools or colleges would go to this...
Oh, my God.
Not colleges, like, schools would go to this house party when you're, like, 16. And then you all grow up together in
so
this one club.
So it's like that club. Small town syndrome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One or two clubs, and you'd see everyone. It's like a house party.
Yeah. So they were a little bit judgy of you.
Yeah, like, but like, it's kind of, like, not even to your face.
Oh,
like you heard it
oh, no,
closed
no,
doors,
never to
you
your
see
face.
See it like a screenshot on Instagram or Snapchat.
Yeah.
But they would never say it to your face.
No.
And I remember this guy. Oh, my God. There's this guy. And I remember he screenshotted it and put, like, the sick emojis that I had, like, cut.
Like
girls,
gagging.
Like, doing sex work. Now he does OnlyFans with his girlfriend.
Stop. With his girlfriend?
Yeah, with his girlfriend. Which, get, like,
what?
Like, get
no,
that
no, no,
coin.
No. The only reason I said, oh, his girlfriend is, I don't know any straight guys that do OnlyFans, to my knowledge.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, like, it's just not
it's
as
more
common?
Genuine. Like, yeah, because they see girls do it and they're jealous. They're like, oh, I'm not fucking doing that.
They do get jealous.
Yeah.
No, they do. That's a real thing. They're like, I think that's where a lot of that, like, hatred comes from. They're like, what is he doing?
Yeah.
Like, you're literally on Pornhub.
Oh my God, I've had
you're
guys
on Pornhub
that I went to school with.
Yeah.
And they got in a relationship with someone I also went to school with, and I am blocked. The
Why?
Guy has blocked me because the girlfriend has been like, I don't want you seeing
so
that.
So she's blocked. So she's blocked
for your
you.
Man. Yeah. I don't want
no way. What's
man.
That TikTok? It's like you're no. It's like, you're safe.
Yeah, and
you
then they
are
hate
safe.
Me
no,
because
I
I've
know.
Become this character, and it's like, oh my God! Like, I am genuinely not. I'm such a hopeless romantic. I am
you,
so believe in love.
Yeah,
like, I just want to be happy, and I just want to be with that one person.
OnlyFans, stripping, whatever. It's a job. It's not you.
Yes. Yes. And it's literally the hardest job
it's
that I've
separation.
Ever done. But it's still a job.
So with, like, so do you were saying earlier, like, do you get tired of other people sexualizing you? Because that's...
It's
like what
I
you
get,
were just
no,
saying.
No, I'm tired of sexualizing myself.
Really?
Yeah.
And like, is that just from these jobs? You just start to naturally look at yourself in that way, or you're just
well,
like
it makes me feel good.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, then it doesn't. So it's like this
you go through waves.
Cycle. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, and girl, like, if you want to sexualize yourself, fucking do it.
Oh
put
no,
on a three piece lingerie.
Of course,
you know,
do the damn
film
thing.
Film yourself, even if you want to fucking dance in your room with some music. In
no,
your
whatever.
Underwear,
makes
take some
it,
pics for your boyfriend.
I do
your
think
girlfriend.
It's more when I like sexualize yourself, but it's more when like. Other people sexualize you and you're like, but like it's when you're not, it's probably when it's constant. You're like, leave me alone.
It's leave to a point alone. Where I get so much attention sometimes when I'm dolled up.
Yeah.
And my ass is on show.
Yeah.
Or my tits are on show.
Yeah.
And I get all this attention. And then when I'm in a tracksuit, hair in a bun, you know, I don't get as much or not at all.
Yeah.
And then it becomes, like I said, an addiction. I then continuously, I'm like, I crave that attention. It makes me feel good. It's, I like giving I like giving compliments back. I like, you know, if someone goes out of their time to say that I look good, like, I want to, like, involve myself with that person. That's, that, you know, they've gone out their way to tell me that, that I look good.
Yeah.
You know, that says more about them than it does about me. That's,
I feel,
it's a nice thing. It's,
no, 100%. Positive. It's positive. Like, I fully agree with you. Like, anyone who knows me, not to make this about me, but like anyone who is my friend, like they always are like, oh my God, Olivia, you're the biggest hype man. Like,
oh,
I,
yeah, I love that. Yeah, same. When I met you.
And you was.
But I'm just like. And I love that energy. And I'd love to give that back.
Why would you not?
I always will love a compliment off a woman so much more than I would off a man. When a guy's like, you look fit, babe, you look hot. Or even a guy will go out the time and go, I just want to tell you that you look gorgeous today, Missy.
Yeah.
And a girl goes out of her way and she's like, girl, your outfit, like your accessories, it like hits your different. Hair, it hits different. It hits to home different.
It like hits different. Because I feel like when a guy is like, oh my God, you look sexy.
I feel like they're just asking for something.
I know. I'm like, what do you want?
Yeah.
Like literally, what do you want? Literally, it's like, or they're like, oh, you're so, even like, oh, you're so hot. That doesn't, like, that just doesn't do anything for me.
The guys that go, I just want to tell you, you're one of the most beautiful people I've ever
seen.
I'm like, you have rehearsed that. And like, I want to know how many girls you've said that to. And it's like, they want to sound authentic.
So, when you were on Babe Station, did you find the producers on set, did they have a big impact on the show? Or would they be like, you do you? Or would they be like, no, you have to do this? Okay.
I don't even know where to begin.
Period.
So, when I first moved to the London studio.
Okay.
I went to London and I, like I said, I was commuting from Brighton to London.
Mm-hmm.
Then I moved to Birmingham because mum's kicked me out.
Okay.
Which was my own fault. Love her now. Yeah. We're besties.
I saw you.
But,
very
you know,
close.
I was very, you know, naive. It's I was the misbehaving. My I didn't even know I had ADHD at the time.
Okay,
and I was
that's
just very
hard.
Disruptive.
Yeah.
And, you know, she had to be like, girl, you need to go to your dad's.
Yeah.
You know,
let him sort
you out.
Yeah.
So I went and lived with him, which was an amazing time. So grateful for that because I we got that time with him that
regrounded
I missed out
as
on.
Well, yeah.
So I was commuting from Birmingham, Burton-on-Trent, to Milton Keynes.
Oh,
it was the closest studio.
Yeah.
And I was kind of excited because they wanted me to come to that one. I was like, oh, it's going to be like the big TV set. I'm going to be doing TV sections.
Right.
It's like the proper, you know, Babe Station, like headquarters, like the real deal, big shit.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, I'm making like my way up in the world.
Yeah.
So... started going there, and then I was like, do you know what? I miss my London studio. The Milton Keynes one, no shade, just wasn't for me.
Yeah.
It's a bit too much.
Yeah.
It was affecting me. They have dorms, so I was in this dorm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was in this dorm on my own. Like I said, hotel, it's a little bit better than the dorm. The dorm
was
like in this like tiny room. Like, I'm not even joking, you like twice the size of
your
bathroom.
No, that's quite isolating.
Yeah, yeah. It was tiny.
Yeah.
And... you know, it wasn't healthy. I was just eating, like, microwave meals. Mm. Like, it was very, very depressing. Mm. I wasn't...
I'd say so. That Jesus.
Yeah, I wasn't healthy there.
No.
So I just started going back to London. I enjoyed it there, you know. So I went back. The day I went back, there was a new producer there.
Okay.
And we're just going to call him Mr. P.
Mr. P.
Yeah. Which is what we call them anyway. We go, Mr. P.
Mr. Producer.
Can you buzz me?
Okay.
Like, sort of thing. Like, that's his name, Mr. Producer, Mr. P.
Okay.
And I remember I was like, oh my God. Hello, you,
stunning.
Mr. P. Yeah, gorgeous.
Gorge.
And I remember I put it on my Instagram, like, guys, oh my God. Like, if people were listening to this and they had me on Snapchat, they will remember me going, guys, the producer here is 10/10.
Really?
Like, oh.
Yeah.
And I was just fascinated by him. And we just got on, like, clicked.
Click, we said the same time, chicken nugget. So you clicked from the get-go,
from
day
dot. And we just got on.
Okay.
Like, I could be myself around him, like.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, I could sense that he was into me. Like, you and could, he was very professional. Mm-hmm. Gotta give him credit. Very professional man.
Good.
Like, work was work.
Yeah.
He wasn't some, like, next level creep, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I've got a job at Apes.
Yeah, yeah,
oh my God, I'm gonna tell all the boys.
Yeah.
He was very, very professional, which I give him, you
That's,
know.
That's, thank God.
Credit for. And I remember I booked a hotel in May, but this was in March. And I just fucked it up. I thought the hotel was booked for that night, but it was booked in May.
Okay.
I obviously got given his number before the Babe Station management. Every studio has a manager.
Yeah.
So the manager sent me his number, like, if you can't get in. And I had his number and I was like, oh my fucking God, I'm in fucking stranded in London. It's 10 o'clock at night. I don't know what I'm doing.
Mm.
I don't know where to go. I've booked a hotel all the way in May time and it's March.
That's
just got
scary.
My M's the wrong way around.
Yeah, no, but that's scary.
My months, you know?
Yeah.
And he just came, he was on the bus on the way home and he just come back and helped me out. Found me a hotel because he's from London himself.
Mm.
Found me a hotel. We were talking all night. I got my first ever Five Guys and it was just really friendly.
Yeah.
And then I was speaking to him that night, like, got back to my hotel. And obviously by this point, I've fancied him.
Mm.
I think he's just being nice to me. Like, he wasn't being forceful. He wasn't me. It was me. Like I like you. Like, I don't know if I'm making this clear enough.
Mm. And that would have been so refreshing as well.
Yeah, that's what I found so refreshing. Like, it was...
Yeah.
And usually it's the men coming to chase me.
Yeah.
I felt like for the first time in my life, I was kind of like chasing him.
Yeah.
And it was nice.
Yeah.
And then I found out that he did actually really like me. He was just trying to keep it cool, keep it calm.
And he probably didn't want to be kind of plastered
with
the
look like,
creepy producer.
Yes, professional.
Yeah.
Which I always gave him credit for.
Mm.
And then this, out of nowhere, this relationship just blossomed.
Mm-hmm.
And within a month, within April, we were together.
Okay.
And I was coming to London all the time.
Yeah.
Spending all my time with him. We would get hotels together when I came up. And I would just come up for work and then just, you know... pleasure and leisure and you know it was a relationship and it was a really good relationship. I learned started learning Turkish and I still know Turkish now. Merhaba nasılsın?
Okay.
İyiyim, teşekkürler.
That was so good.
I literally fell in love with this man. I was in awe, like I really did care about him. I was literally taught myself Turkish because I was like, if I have children with this guy, like they're gonna be half Turkish. I want to speak Turkish to my babies, you know. And that's what I'm like. I get so invested in someone. I'm such a hopeless romantic.
Mm.
I build up this fantasy around it. But we had hiccups. Like, fuck me. Like, the job put a lot of strain. We had a lot of arguments because of work. I remember we had to stop. We used to do things called Mr. P shows. So if you get a certain amount of credits, it'd be like 1,000 credits for Mr. P to come rub oil on me. So...
him.
And the producer that's just in.
Oh.
So I could have any producer, which is not always him. There's like three producers at the studio, they work in a rota. One does a night shift, one does a day shift, one does...
Right.
And they work in rotas.
Yeah.
And he wasn't comfortable with another guy rubbing oil on me.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And so if I'm honest with you, I wasn't comfortable with him touching tits.
Yeah.
And we used to always have this argument where he's like, well, the guy obviously clearly loves it. Like, of course he wants to touch your tits. Of course he wants to touch your ass. Any guy would. He's like, but I know myself that I don't like doing it. I hate doing it. This was his argument. He was like, I'm just doing it because it's my job. I have to.
Mm.
I said, but it's my job too. I said, what? I go to work and I have one guy, one producer touch me. But you could be working with four girls that day. So you could be touching four girls that day. And we always used to argue. He'd be like, no, because you've got this guy touching you. And then you have to set all these different tip goals. So this one guy is touching you four times that shift.
One rule for you.
Yours touching multiple women.
Yeah.
There are like 20 girls at that studio that you could be touching.
Mm.
So because he had a problem with it, I had a problem with him. Because I had a problem with he had a problem with it. And I'm not saying that it was all him because it was me as well. I got like, I would get upset. If I would get, there'd be this beautiful girl with bigger boobs than me, bigger bum than me, and I think she's prettier than me, she'd make more money than me.
Yeah.
And he's touching her. I feel insecure. I'm like,
clearly,
my boyfriend's touching another girl. It's, no girl was going to want that.
No, and but in I your face as well.
Yeah, I can't argue that because I'm doing it as well. So we both just said, right, none of us are doing it anymore.
Yeah.
So I was, and I was like, you don't lose out money on it. I lose out money on it. You can just say no, and it is your choice. But when I say no, I lose out a large amount of money.
Yeah, because but his paycheck doesn't get affected by it. He does, like, yours does.
Yeah. But then I couldn't argue with him. Like, if I didn't want him getting touched, I don't want him touching girls. And he didn't want guys touching me.
See, it's an unusual situation, like, working at Babe Station and your boyfriend is the producer and you're going out and you're navigating a relationship while you're both still... It's a funny space.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's hard.
Yeah, it was the most difficult relationship I think I've had.
Yeah. Because, had a lot of strain. So you were working together while you were going out?
Yeah. And sometimes he wasn't my producer, sometimes he was. Mm. But I usually would work when he was working. I fit my schedule around him, vice versa.
Did he struggle to separate you from your work, or did he still always appreciate, like, no, this is just your... Did he still...
We were a long distance relationship because I met him in the March. We got together in the April. Mm. I moved to Manchester in May. Literally only had that 2 months together. Mm. And they were really nice 2 months. We were spending time together. Yeah. We were going to London. Like I said, we were staying in hotels, doing nice things.
Yeah.
And then I moved away to Manchester 2 months later. So we were just doing, he would come up to Manchester or I would go down to London.
So it was long distance for the majority.
Yeah, the whole relationship. So that's why he had an issue, because he could see me getting touched by other producers for a tip goal because he was working at the same time. Mm. So he can see my live stream. But I could never see him unless I would have to go online and look myself and go on like girls.
Oh my God, so he could see you.
I only did that once because that was, like I said, I was really, really insecure.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to know, like, I was just like, and then I was like, fuck, what am I doing? Put my fucking phone away. Why am I looking at that?
But it's hard not to.
You care because you love someone so much. You just want to, you just get so invested and it becomes like this. And that is just unhealthy. That I should just like cut the relationship off then. Like, that was unhealthy.
But you know what though? You tried it because
it's one of those, just human.
You're human. And there was clearly a connection. It wouldn't have lasted if there wasn't. And like, you just, it's just one of those things you don't know until you try. Well, just got in the way.
Yeah. But at this time, I was talking to a customer, getting to know him. Mm. And he's been my customer for 2 years since I was 20. And this is the guy that I started to get feelings for. And I had to eventually tell me and
Mr. P.
Me and Mr. P went on a break, and then we decided to get back together. But then we end up just calling it off because I had to admit to him, I'm sorry, Mr. P. I'm getting, and I had to be honest. I couldn't hide my feelings. Mm. I had to tell him I'm getting feelings for this guy,
for the customer.
That's
so interesting. I had to be honest.
And it was so crazy. I had not even met this guy, but I'd spoke to him so much.
But it's an emotional connection. Way.
Yeah. And I had to tell him that I'm really sorry. Like, I've got to be honest here. I've fallen for someone. I still love you. I still respect you. Mm. I still, you know, like you in my life. Obviously, we've had our difficulties. Mm. We've gone through hell and fucking back. Made us strong, made us weak. It is what it is, but I can't help. I got these feelings. And that's when we had to cut each other off.
Stop.
I couldn't be with him knowing that I had feelings for someone else. He couldn't be with me knowing that I had feelings for a customer, for someone that I hadn't even met.
But this is the thing with Babe Station, because, and I think what separates it from maybe other platforms is, like, because it is on the phone, and you're speaking, there is a bit of an emotional connection.
Yeah.
Because you would feel like you really know.
You talk to someone for a certain amount of time, the truth always, like, comes out. It's like reality.
Like,
people will put on a front, but give it 2 hours, give it an hour, give it 10 minutes. Their real personality just starts coming out.
Mm.
You know? You can't help it. You just,
comfortable. You get comfortable with someone.
And I was so vulnerable. Obviously, we were doing things. I was telling this customer things that I probably hadn't even told anyone. Because there was a sense of, like,
comfortable.
And it was work, but this customer as well, people will know if they have me on Snapchat. Like I said, when I first started, I went, oh my God, guys, I could be paying this guy.
Yeah.
When I speak to guys or girls, he, she, they, whatever pronouns.
Yeah.
When I spoke to them, it's me making them come, period. Mm. Every time.
Period.
I am making them come or not come, you know. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, they like to just edge.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm not there, maybe they're a cup of tea and they think, oh, not today.
Yeah.
You know, it depends.
Yeah.
But usually, 9 times out of 10, I'm making them come.
Yeah.
Or like humiliating them. Yeah, or whatever they want. Yeah. Whatever their fantasies, sexual fantasies are. This was the first ever customer that just wanted me to be quiet, me to lay back, have my vibrator on my pussy. And I'm not gonna lie, like, it's fake. I don't fucking actually come.
Oh,
like,
I don't,
of course I don't fucking come.
Yeah, because how many phone calls do you have in one, like, yeah, that's Jesus, not a thing.
Like, I'm not gonna fucking, but
there's then, oh yeah, what are you gonna say?
Then there was this guy, I said I'm wrapping it by, it's like therapy.
No, girl, I know, I'm not.
We're just gonna unwrap this bow just but this for a thing, second.
Both of us are Virgos, two Virgos. I never stop speaking. Yeah. You're the same. We both, well, get us together. It's a curse. I love it. No, it's a curse.
But wait, go on, this customer made me lay back. Close my eyes. He asked me what I was
on
into.
On Babe Station?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was 20. Oh my God. I was like, fucking out. He asked me to lay back, close my eyes, and just tell me what I'm into. So I told him what I was into.
That's mad. Because very submissive. Yeah.
You know, love the daddy talk.
Yeah.
Love being dominated. Love being told what to do. But I love being praised. And, you know, felt like I'm getting looked after. Mm-hmm. You know, protected.
Yeah.
But I also like punishment. And Yeah, praise and punishment. I'm into that.
Yeah, and so was he when so because it's on a TV, like, he could see you.
With that. He liked that as well, but as the he liked to dominate.
So the opposite.
Yeah,
of
so
that.
It worked well. Yeah. It's like a puzzle piece.
But with Babe Station, though, are you in a room?
And yes, I'm in a room on my own, like a bedroom like this, secluded in the bed with the camera there, and the producers are outside. You know, and there's loads
of producers
sets.
Were in the room.
No, God, no. I'm not be doing what I'm doing. I wish they were in the room because maybe I wouldn't have done so much.
Yeah, literally. No, but that makes sense because I was like, going to be like, Jesus, are they fucking staring at you?
No, you're on your own. That's why it's so isolating.
Okay,
that's why you get vulnerable because you're talking to this one-on-one with a customer and you can start talking to them.
This is changing it now for me because that has to get a little bit intense.
Of course you've got to be on your own. No, it's your privacy.
But for some reason I thought it was like a studio. But that could be isolating as you literally just said. Yeah,
and I would spend 3 days on my own. This is why I don't work as much. And I love living near a studio so I can go home and I can separate the two.
Yeah.
But for a weekend, that's why I felt like I was Missy for 3-4 days a week. And then Maddie. And then they just merged together. And I didn't even know who I was anymore.
Mesh.
And it fucks you up.
Oh my God, it would. Because you're like, because it's not the same.
Yeah,
it's there's two.
Yeah, no, I'm completely different from that fucking slag.
Yeah,
but do you know what? Yeah. Like, it has shaped me, and it's made me who I am. I need help now. I need therapy. I'm on medication. It's okay. Yeah. Like,
do you think
that's on sex work?
Do you think this industry has, like, oh my worsened God. Your mental health? Though?
Yes,
really.
But it has made me better as a person. Mm.
Double-edged sword.
Yeah.
What I was just going to ask you, so if you're in this room and you're on your own and you're on the phone and you're getting all these calls, have you ever had a phone call where you're like, hang on guys, I feel strange, I need to take a minute, like someone who's like made you actually feel uncomfortable?
I've had the worst experience of my life. I had a customer that wrote in the chat, can you say Nick, like Nicholas, I'm going to say Nicholas Car. When you put them words together, it says the N-word.
Oh, what?
I was 20, so I was saying Stop. Nick. He was like, can you say my name? Moan it. Say my name. And he put Nick, like N-I-C-K.
The way
Nicholas,
he worded it to frame
and then
you.
Car, C-A-R-R. So I was singing, hey, sister, soul, sister. I was drunk. I was joking. He was like, can you say it? Like, and I was moaning it. And then people in the chat, like, stop saying it. Stop saying it. Stop saying it.
You wouldn't, went, what you do wouldn't you mean? Register.
Then I realized, and I just started crying. I had to come off. No, I was crying my eyes out. I was so paranoid. That this was, and I was like, this person's just set me up for me to say that.
That
you
is
know,
insane.
But I would never say. And
oh,
it's
no,
like,
yeah.
And it fucked me up.
But because that's nearly like, that could be some like 13-year-old who's like, thinks that this is hilarious.
Yeah. And it's not a joke.
It's
not a
funny.
Fucking joke.
That's trying to, because the thing is, it's recorded on TV. So like that footage could be used
for anything. That's, and that could bite me. If I fucking went somewhere or became more known, they could have that one clip of me saying it, making it worse, manipulating it worse than it was. And it broke me. I had to come out of work. I couldn't work.
Say.
I literally went home that night and I was crying my eyes out.
Yeah.
Like hyperventilating. Like, yeah. I couldn't even believe that someone had done that to me.
Yeah, because it's like sneakiness of like, gotcha.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're like...
And people were like, stop saying it. And I went, what do you mean? What do you mean, stop saying it? And then it just clicked.
The penny dropped. But the thing is, right? If that was me in that situation, I felt stupid. No, don't, because you're not assuming that that's what they're trying to do. Why would you assume that? So like, don't even think you're stupid, because these people are kind of like smart in that way that they trick you.
Yeah. Oh, I'd have guys that would be like, I've been recording this whole thing. Now you need to see what I say, otherwise I'm putting it all online for everyone to see. I was like, at first I was like, oh my god. Now I'm like, babes, I'm on Reddit, I'm on Google, like images, like,
yeah.
I'm everywhere. Like, I can't get that shit off. There's removal companies now.
Yes, sir.
And it's a lot. Oh my god, yeah. Like, you can get
good.
But it's like when you're taught at school, you put something out online, it's out there.
Yeah, I know.
And I just wish I was more educated on that. And I genuinely was, but I didn't realise that it would actually happen to me.
I do think there needs to be better laws on that as well, with the footprint. Wait,
girls put it, I put it on my OnlyFans. Like, if you take my videos and photos, I'm going to, you know, press legal charges. But there are so, and people write it like to threaten people, but they don't actually take them to court. Like, you need a solicitor, like you need a lawyer, whatever. Like, it's hard, and then you've got to find their IP address, and then you've got to prove it, and then you've got to take them to court, and then sometimes it doesn't even, and then the money, you're losing money for doing all of that, paying the solicitor, going through court. You might as well just let them have the photo, put it on Reddit, because any publicity is good fucking publicity.
And I
was like, do you know what, put me on Reddit, it's my content, it's illegal, but you're getting me clout at the end of the day, because it's still my face and my pussy that's getting shown.
Oh, you're iconic.
But
honestly, I feel like people love an empty threat. Like, do you know, like, especially I think girls more so than guys. Like, girls, like, oh, like, say if like their boyfriend is being inappropriate, like their boyfriend will be like being inappropriate, this thing, like, sorry, this is a tangent, but like going after the girl, being like, oh, I have dirt on you, and I'm like, I just don't get that mind.
Porn.
Yeah.
But
I've had... Your boyfriend is the one. Like, go after him.
Oh, it's so insane. Many times I know girls just genuinely hate me, but they stalk my Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
And they've got my... Oh, the fake accounts are popping up. There is a girl out there that's been making fake accounts so she can report my posts. If you get a certain amount of reports on a photo, it gets taken down. If you get a certain amount of reports photos... your account will get taken down. My account got deleted 3 times to the point that it completely had gone. I had lost videos and photos of people that aren't even here anymore.
That's so unfair.
And it's so upsetting, because I know that it's a girl from my school or that knows me, that just doesn't like me, doesn't like what I do, is threatened by me because they've caught their boyfriend wanking over me. It's got nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
It's literally my job, and they have used it against me.
But are they still with that boyfriend?
Yeah, they could still be with them. I don't fucking know. Just, I know that it's a girl. And people are like, oh, do you not think it's a... What guy has... Or straight guy has the time to go report all my photos and
oh, no, that's a girl.
It's a girl.
That's a girl. That's not a guy.
And jealousy is
fuming.
Can eat someone up. I've been there.
Yeah, but it's just like... I just will never understand that mindset of going after, like, that is literally your job.
Why are you coming for my job?
That is your career. And
fair,
it's also
in
like,
the club, if I came for your man and I knew he was with you, fucking slap me.
Yeah.
I deserve it.
Yeah.
I'd fucking swill a bitch if she fucking came to my girl.
Yeah.
You know, and you know that I'm with her.
Yeah.
Like,
Can we speak about her for a second? Because I'm just going to say, you guys are so cute. Your face even so just... When even bringing her up, your face just like
lights up. Oh.
Because the thing is, right, when we Manchester Pride this year, when me and Holly and we went to your flat, like, you have that best, like, first of all, like, you're obviously in a relationship, but you have that best friend energy.
Yeah.
Of like, you're not just...
That's what a relationship is.
Foundation. But that's what it should be.
Is a best friend. A good relationship is the foundation of a friendship.
How did that happen? I want to hear about that.
New Year's Eve.
You in China?
No, I met her the day me and Mr. P broke up. So me and Mr. P broke up. And I was like, I'm going out on a night out. like, just don't talk to me, don't message me. I was like, obviously being really, you know, dramatic. And I was like, I'm going out. And I met her that night, and I'd never laughed so much in my fucking life.
You can see that,
like,
though, with
you guys. I get, like, heart palpitations. Like, when I laugh so much with her, I'm like, girl, my heart is aching. I need my chest, my asthma, I need my inhaler.
And I need my inhaler.
I
love that. That's so cute.
Asthmatic.
She makes me asthmatic.
And I just had the most amazing time with her. Yeah. And then I got back with Mr. P. Because I was
really?
Just, yeah, I'm very, you know, like a hopeless romantic. I wanted it to work. I had to learn all this Turkish, you know. I'm rooting for my, you know, the person that you I was give in me love the, with.
You're very much all in.
Yeah, 100%. Oh my God, yeah. But I love so hard. And yeah, with her, it was just...
easy.
I've never been myself more.
I was going to say, right, because I've seen you. So this is the thing, I saw you, Manchester Pride 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Manchester Pride 2022. The difference, do you feel like being with her, do you feel, and I don't know if it's because she's a girl, do you feel less pressure to be like sexual?
Oh my God, no, more pressure.
Really?
Oh my God, yeah.
I thought that you'd be less sexualized because she's a guy, got you.
No,
girl.
Not le- yeah, less no, sexualized.
Yeah, I should have said that.
It is so, when we had sex the first time, it was just like a comedy sketch.
Oh, was it?
Stop laughing. I felt so awkward.
Yeah.
See, with a guy, it's just, you know...
you know what to do.
With a woman, I didn't realise how... I've been with women before, but I really liked her. Like, I was like...
you get nervous if you like the person as well.
Yeah, I was fucking shaking. And so was she.
Yeah.
And, like, he was just making jokes that we felt... yeah. I remember I couldn't even have a normal conversation with her.
Yeah.
He would just, like, banter and just make these small little jokes.
Yeah.
And we say now, like, it's so mad how we can just talk and talk and talk. But before... I couldn't even be sat in the room with her alone. We'd be so nervous.
So mad.
And it was so innocent when we first had sex. It was so pure.
That's so
and like,
cute.
Oh, but I didn't even know what I was doing. And I thought that I did. Like, with guys, I know what I'm doing. I know what a man wants. I know how to do it. I'm quite educated.
Girls having sex is like sexualized. So like,
it's like, oh my God. We've never even scissored. Like, I would love to say, like, boys listening, like, me and my sister.
No, I know. Because they're like, oh my God, what do you do? What happened? Like, it's so funny because there's a lot of stuff. Like, do you watch Euphoria?
Yes.
Chloe Cherry.
Mm.
Okay. So she did a podcast with this Call Her Daddy.
Yes.
She was like, squirting isn't real. She basically was like, porn stars will like drink loads of water.
Yeah. Squirting is 70%.
Water.
Yeah. Urine. Not even water. No, it's piss.
I don't think guys know that.
You've got to hydrate yourself if you want it to come out clear.
But I don't think guys know that it's urine. I just thought that was so funny because it's just things like that. That's like with porn. Like,
people are like, yeah, it's come.
And I'm like, no.
No, honey.
If you knew.
Urine.
I forgot to ask about this with the strip club. Were you guys like really close? Like, as
there's
in,
a hierarchy, honey.
But this is what I'm asking. Okay, we have seen Hustlers, and I know that's not an accurate like depiction. But like, is there a lot? Is it competitive?
Oh, girl! When I first came to the strip club, I was this 19 ball of energy, ADHD, Arthur. I didn't even know that I had. I just thought I was just fucking annoying. Had loads of energy, and I remember just. Like loving it. I was making all this. I was the new girl, and I remember I was an hour late. So you start at 9, I started at 10, and they said you're an hour late. I was like, oh shit, sorry, I thought it was 10. They said, no, we'll let you off, but it's 9, you need to be here 9 before 9 to, you know, check in and stuff and get ready. I came in, I was an hour late, and he said, by the way, the manager was like, it's a bit dead today, so like, don't beat yourself up if you don't do well. Soon as I came in, I went straight on the podium. And the guy, this guy, it was his birthday or a stag do, can't really remember, came in and he pointed at me and I said, I want that one. I have never had a guy say that to me ever since. Like, I want that one. I want that one.
As if it's a piece of...
Yeah. He literally said that to me. And I always remember that because I've never really got spoken to that like that in the strip club. It was just like my first time. And I thought, fuck, this is what it's like. I'm getting chose. Like, you know.
Like a shock to the system.
Like a shop. Like, I want that one.
Yeah, literally
and
a shop.
I remember I did... I think it was an hour and a half or something like that. So that was like £600. And I remember making, so I made like £1,200 my first time stripping.
You said that, yeah.
I remember counting like hustlers. Obviously, I hadn't seen the film, that film hadn't come out yet.
This was years
ago. I remember like listening, like girls like count their money in the changing room. Yeah. Like that's the thing.
That's
like
the
that's
vibe.
What I was so excited
the,
for. Yeah, like counting
the like
cash.
Culture. Yeah.
Yeah, putting it in like £100 and I had it all cashed out. And this girl, who I love now, but she threatened the fuck out of me. And she went, rule number one in stripping, don't fucking get your money out in front of other girls, because do you want your money taken off you? Like, we don't want to see that shit. That's rude. That's stuck up. Like, don't get your money out.
Interesting.
I had no idea.
That's
mad. So that you can get your money out, but you just count it to yourself.
See, there's unspoken rules.
I was in the middle of the floor, had my bag out, shook it out, legs open, like in the middle of the pile, like counting it, fucking like in a movie, like, yes, I'm a stripper. Literally loving it. Thinking I'm some sort of icon. Yeah, yeah. And this girl's like, rule number one of fucking stripping, don't get your money out in front of other girls. Like, it comes across like...
So it looks like you're nearly robbing.
I was so like, oh my
but
God.
It's just one of those things you don't know until you're in that situation.
So what I started to do was, there was a chicken shop by the strip club. So I would go in and I was like, I want to make friends with these girls. Like, and I used to buy like chicken and eat it. Like, you could eat chicken cold. Mm. So throughout the night, I would just go in and have the chicken. And I would buy 2 boxes of 10. So I'd have 20 pieces of chicken. Mm. And at the end of the night, I'd be like, who wants some chicken?
You're such a
and
Virgo.
And all these girls would come in and have some chicken. And then I was like, there's a hierarchy here. And then I was getting more and more friendly with the girls. And this one girl, So the owner of the club, his wife, she danced too at the club.
Okay.
Beautiful woman, lovely. And some other girl told her that I was flirting with her man, who's the boss, told her that I was flirting, which I literally would never, like, I fucking could flirt with anything. Mm-hmm. I'm very charismatic. But I wouldn't go out of my way, like, I'm not like that. Or it may have come across like that. But I was fucking 19, like, I was just being nice and innocent. He was showing me around the club.
Yeah.
This girl, like, just created this unnecessary drama. And then the wife had an issue with me. She was like, I've heard that you're... She didn't even want to talk to me.
Yeah.
But I heard that she apparently found out that I'd been flirting with her man, which obviously anyone would get annoyed about.
Yeah.
But I was so upset. I was like, I would never do such a thing. Like, fucking hell, the guy's like, you know, a lot older than me anyway. This is my first ever job stripping. I'm not going to do that. Mm. I was so upset by it. And then this girl, Blue... fucking love her. She was like the mother of stripping. She'd been there a while, you know, she was at the top of the hierarchy, you know. And she backed me up and she was like, no, Missy was not like that. Missy was not flirting. Actually, you were flirting with him.
Yeah.
And then the wife, who's co-owned it, she came up to me and she was like, I'm so sorry, I had no idea. I said, oh girl, I would have been just pissed off if I found out that someone was chatting to my man. You had every right to be.
Yeah.
But then because this girl who was quite high up in the hierarchy had my back. And now these girls, they know me, like, they actually met and then they grew to know me and they knew that I'm just this girl that just wants to have a good time. I don't want to hurt anyone. I just want to spread positivity.
Yeah.
I'm not here trying to take anyone's money. I'm not here to try and step on anyone's toes.
Yeah.
I just want to have a fucking good time.
Yeah.
And then you build this relationship. And now I've still got the girls on Instagram, you know. Mm. One's pregnant now. Like, she's going to be an amazing mother. Mm. And, you know, you watch them, like, live their life. And it's nice. And it's like a home. It's like a family.
Yeah. Because a lot of people, like, with stripping, it's so weird to me when people are like, oh, my God, strip club. It's like a lot of people don't have a lot of options as well.
Yeah.
Like,
there's no plan B.
There's no plan B.
And her stage name was Bunny, and I literally take my hat off to her. She now does cosmetics, and she was she's amazing.
Is she
stripper,
an
amazing pole
she's
dancer.
An injector.
Not even just a stripper, like
her
pole. It was not even pole dancing. It was like pole fitness at this point. Like, it's like a
major
sport. It's like Olympics. Like,
girl, upper
like,
arm strength.
She was beautiful the way she danced and the way she performed, and I remember always just being in awe, just watching her. And, you know, a lot of girls, they get older and older and they're like, fuck, I can't be doing this for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
You know, I want a family or I want a stable career.
Yeah.
I can't be doing night shifts working till 5, 6 in the morning every night. It takes mental toll.
Yeah.
And she's built up this business around aesthetics, like cosmetics and lip filler, and she makes more money 100% now than she ever did with stripping. But she had that plan B. But a lot of girls, like myself, I don't know when the fuck or how I'm going to get out of this job.
Of stripping?
No idea. Yeah. Or no sex work.
In general?
In general. I don't want to be doing this for the rest of my life. Oh my God, if I had the choice to get out of this now, I'd be out of it. I don't even want to do this job anymore.
Really?
Like, no, like, it's not even, I like, don't even like doing it. I like the talking aspect of it.
Out of the three, so OnlyFans, Babe Station, and the strip clubs, where do you feel the safest, as in the most protected?
See, I feel like every single one
has different
aspects of feeling protected. In Babe Station, I felt more protected because I was in a room.
Right.
But at the same time, I have never been more exposed in my whole life.
Yeah.
I'm on my own. No one's touching me. No one's making me do anything that I don't want to do. I'm like literally on my own. How can I be more protected than being in a room on my own in a studio with cameras, with professionals, like producers, you know, that are there for your duty of care.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that was the one place I've been put all over the internet. I've been violated. I've been exposed. Imagine doing a photo shoot. And I've got body dysmorphia, you know. I like a cheeky edit. I like to blur, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Whiten the eyes, blur it. Yeah. I used to snatch my waist so in, you didn't even see it. Like, my body dysmorphia got so bad. Mm. I used to, like, literally make my body look like something that it's not. And I know so many girls do it. It's so common.
I think a lot of people, and not to go on a tangent, but, like, not being funny, the Kardashians now.
Oh, yeah, like
it's just a lot. It's all a lot. It
fucks me up. And I was doing it from a young age. Like, if people remember my old Instagram, like, oh my God, like, it was like an hourglass body that I've never had and never will have.
Yeah. With everything that you've just said, what does your, like, dream life look like? What would make you, not even in terms of career, but what would just make you happy at your happiest, like, everything aside?
Performing. Still performing, which is why I started this whole thing.
But you can see the connection, though.
Yeah.
All
I want to do is just... And it's like... Missy is like... It was like method acting. Mm. It's like I became her.
It's a character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like I was constantly being her. You know how method acting can really have a toll on people?
Oh, mate. For real.
Yeah.
For real.
And it's like I was... Became this person that I'm literally not.
Yeah.
And... Yes, I have some aspects of her with the same, but people that know me or people that have met me through Babe, they're like that customer that I fell in love with. He's like, Missy and Maddie are completely different people. I don't like Missy.
They
I like
are not
Maddie.
The same. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait.
And it's like, all I want to do is just perform. I just love acting. I love singing. I love dancing. Mm. And it's like, I just wish I went to drama school, and I still can.
But
I was so scared of rejection, and it's so weird. Like, I'm so terrified of an audition or, you know, auditioning for a part or anything.
Mm.
But I was so comfortable with spreading my legs and doing the amount of things that I have done on a camera. And now I know, like, I could, if I get an agent or anything, I could say, like, I'll do anything on camera. Like, I've done this.
Yeah.
I've done that. Fuck me. I'll do anything on camera now.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have that advantage.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, I was so terrified of what I really, really wanted to do.
Yeah.
And it was like porn came so easy to me.
That's so, I've heard of that before.
It's because I don't care about the porn.
Yeah.
I don't care about that job.
Mm.
I literally don't care about it. I've just fell into it. And now I'm making 80 grand a year.
Mm.
How the fuck do I come out of it now?
And that's
like, what do
thing.
I do? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, so many girls don't have a plan B. And it's like, now I make this money and I have these bills to pay out and I'm so...
It's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle.
That you're used
it's like,
to.
Well, I don't want to get rid of this lifestyle now.
Yeah.
But fuck me, money isn't everything. Like,
yeah.
I've made money. I have spent all of it. I have not invested any of it, which, take my hat off, clap to the girls who have fucking business, like, boss bitch.
Yeah.
With my ADHD, I'm really bad with money management and I have impulse buys.
And you're also only 23.
And I was so young.
I'm really bad. I'm not great with money.
Grand
at
the age of 19.
Oh, like,
and I had no idea. I come from a council estate family. Like, I'm making more money than all my family members put together.
Yeah.
My immediate family members, my mum, my dad, and my brother and my two sisters, I make more money than them all put together. All five of them.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't have anything. I feel like I've got nothing to show for it. And it gets
me
so upset because I've spent all the money. I've done fun things. I've bought anything that I wanted to do. I've had so much fun adventures. But at the end of the day, I still have none of it. All I have are those images of me and those videos of me online that I can't get back. And that's what fucks me up.
Really? Does that stick? Does that stick more with you than anything else?
100%. That's 100%. And now it's like that image of me will never get go. And I want to build like a life. Like I want to be someone. Mm. I want to inspire people. Mm. I want to help people. Mm. Like I don't want to just be this person and be like, hey, yeah, like, this is my life. Look at me.
No, yeah.
I want to like help people. Like genuinely share my story. Listen to stories. You know, do what I have to do to make a difference to someone else's life. And if I can do that, I'm sweet.
Yeah.
But now I feel like I'll never be able to do that because of my past.
No, I don't. Because if someone's going to have the mindset of, oh no, you've done this because of your past, like that attitude.
I think in general, like just, I think a lot of people define people on their persona and their character.
Oh, I have a question. I know I have that with this. Yes. With this. So to wrap this up.
To summarize.
Because I think it's funny what you were saying about the character that you play a little bit, which is Missy, and you're Maddie, and then you have your separate work persona, which is Missy. People, I spoke about this in another podcast, people love a character.
Yeah.
Do you notice with, like, you know, it girls in, like, the media, like Christine Quinn, who did Selling Sunset, even, I'm not being funny, Marilyn Monroe, that was all in an alter ego. Yeah. That was a facade. It's, not a facade, that makes it seem as if it's fake.
It's a business.
It's a business.
It's all it is a business.
It's people love a brand.
Yeah.
People love a brand, but it's not you. It is you. It's an element of you, but you at your core.
Don't get me wrong, like, when I go out on a night out, Missy comes out. There's a pole in the room, like, Missy.
You'll be on it.
Yeah. And that's an aspect, But then when I'm at work at Babe Station, Maddie comes out and I can't help that. And it's just differing the two.
Mm.
And it's not, I know me. Mm. I know who I am. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm still figuring that out.
And that's in your 20s, especially, Jesus Christ, like you are just, it's a roller coaster.
Yeah, like
it's
people a think roller coaster. I have it together. Yeah. I have no fucking clue what I'm doing. Yeah.
No, if anyone did though, if anyone says they do, they're lying. They're like,
yeah.
But two, I just want to say, like, I just feel like anything that you do need to give yourself more credit, because I think whatever you're going to end up doing, like, you're going to be successful in anything you do.
I hope so, girl.
And you already are. No, the way you can carry yourself and just like
I think as long as you know what you want in yourself. I don't even know what, like I said, I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't even know where my life is going to go.
Mm.
But it's when other people think they know for you.
No,
and sometimes it's positive. Mm. People are like, you're going to go so far, like you say, and you're going to be successful.
Mm.
And so we don't know that. Like anything could happen.
Yeah.
But it's the people that judge you for what you've done and not for what you're going to do.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it does make sense. It does.
And it's like people can drag you back.
Mm.
I've had people that just drag me back. Mm. And it's like the same people that drag you back, like, no, let me work this better. There are people that drag you back, but you've also got to let people help you go forward.
Yeah.
Can't do it all on your own. Accept help. Yeah.
We need to... I've been told that before. I don't accept help.
Yeah. And it's with this industry, a lot of girls like, I can do this on my own. I'm a boss bitch.
Mm.
Like, I've got this. Like, I am my own business. And for a long time, that's how I thought.
Yeah.
Like, I am my only, like, I'm my worst critic.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to make a change, it's going to be me, which is true.
Yeah.
If I want to go somewhere in life, no one else is going to stop me. Mm. No one else is going to give it to me. No one's going to hand it on my doorstep.
Yeah.
I've got to go out and do it.
Do the damn thing.
At the same time, you've got to appreciate the people that genuinely do want to help you and that see that the good for you.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you can't let the people drag you back, the people that don't drag you back.
Oh my God. Well,
do you know if that makes sense?
It does. I feel like it does make sense. It does. You, can I just say, I feel like this, I don't know how long we've been recording for. I could keep going. I could keep going. This, you have been so good, like literally just so open. Thank and you. Just yourself. What is a misconception that someone has about you, and what is the real you? I can see the real you. It's been clear from the get-go when I saw you, and I saw, like, we all do the damn like dance, we're like, oh my God, on a night out. I saw you from day dot. I was like, this girl is genuine. Like, you're very genuine.
Thank you. That means
it's true.
Lots.
Oh, I saw from the
I think
the
I know I'm genuine. That's something I really you hold are. Myself in. You like, are. I know that I'll like what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
But I think I always owe everyone an explanation. Like if you see my Instagram stories, I've got to always explain myself. And it's like I get such amazing feedback. Like, feedback.
Yeah.
No, feedback. 8 out of 10. I get so much positive.
Yeah.
You know. Feedback.
People just get saying things to you.
Yeah, it's like, that's what keeps me going. It's actually people, like, that keep me going. I am doing it for me.
Yeah.
But if I know that I'm actually helping someone out there, fuck me, that's my motivation.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Helping someone else helps me. Helping someone else helps me because I know if that other person was helping themselves, it would help me.
Yeah, and if they're happy, you could be making them happy.
Yeah, but I always feel like some people, I'm like, mom, like, people like, girl, shut the fuck up. Like, no one cares.
But the thing is...
And some people don't. Like, you don't have to care. If you don't care, fucking unfollow me. Don't look at them.
Don't.
But I know the same people that think, girl, I don't actually care what you got to say. Mm. They are still there every day looking at my story.
Yeah.
And there'll be people that don't generally like me, but I know they're probably still listening right here, right now, to this very second.
You're going to have a few, like, ghost listeners, I'd say.
Yeah.
Definitely of people being
because
like,
I just want to hear what
she's
say.
Saying.
Yeah.
What she's saying.
Like, or just to hear it, just so they can talk shit about it. Just thank you for having me.
Thank you for
You're
doing
honestly,
this.
You've made me feel so comfortable.
Oh, God.
I love this setup as well. It's
we're
like,
sitting on cushions.
Yeah, this is really lovely.
It's a cute. Okay.
And yeah, just thank you.
Oh, my God. No, thank you. We I've been loving this.
we're
so goofy, you guys.
Holy hell.
Okay, are we ending this? But guys, thank you for tuning in. You say goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Don't subscribe.
Don't subscribe. Wait, no, plug.
Because they already do.
Do your plug.
Oh,
if you want.
No, they know where the links
are.
No
plug.
They know where the links are. They know.
No, do you want your own Insta? Your personal Insta?
So my personal is Madeline Leanne with the extra E at the end. MadelineLeanne.
Don't get it twisted.
Just cute. Write that down. Just
smash that follow button. Love
Missy.misbehaving because that is what I do best.
Gorge. Bye, you guys. Bye.